Oh, so, you having a nice day, Kim?
Don't start.
Fair enough. Maybe we should have gone to your mother's for Christmas.
She died in July.
No. Did she?
Of course she didn't.
Oh.
How can you not know whether my mother is alive or not?
I'm sorry, I've just had a very large meal.
Yes, Neil, I watched it happen. Actually, that's quite interesting.
Is it?
I know this is ridiculous, but that article in the Sunday Times about pigs in blankets inducing amnesia.
I didn't see that article.
You read it to me.
Did I?
Hmm.
It's true. How many pigs in blankets did I have?
Neil, there was no article.
Well, we can't be sure of that. You've had pigs in blankets
Listen,
as well.
Pigs in blankets are just pork.
So they're actually pigs in pigs?
On Christmas Day.
I apologise.
I made up the amnesia story because you blame lunch for not being able to remember if my mother was alive or not.
But you said she died in July.
Yes, but you don't just accept things that people tell you, do you?
Well, I trust you.
When Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell sing The World is Just a Great Big Onion, you don't ditch everything you previously knew about astronomy and start perceiving yourself as some sort of shallot dweller.
Gaye and Terrell are strangers to me, so obviously I'm inclined to scrutinise their
claims. I'm just using them as a random example.
I mean, we know from Marvin Gaye's Grapevine references, he's inclined to accept gossip at face value, so he's not exactly a reliable fact gatherer.
I was using the Onion song to illustrate.
The thing is, Kim, I'm closer to you than anyone else on this planet.
Well, at least you accept it's a planet.
Yes, don't lump me with the scallion advocates. What I'm saying is I don't expect you to lie to me, especially about your mother's expiry date.
I wouldn't call it a lie.
Well, it wasn't true. Nor was the pigs in blankets story, so you've actually told me two lies in quick succession.
I used them like defibrillator pads to shock you out of your post-lunch stupor.
Oh, well, that's different. It hadn't occurred to me your motives were medicinal.
As I've said to you before, if, rather than shooting me down in flames all the time, you just gave me a chance to explain, I can justify more or less anything.
Oh, I know you can, darling.
I have to say, I found it very unnerving that you could suddenly believe my mother died in July.
Shows what an amazing liar you are.
Don't sweet talk me, Neil.
It was from the heart.
You absolutely know my mother is alive. One little lie from me should not be able to shake that conviction. It makes me wonder if you're losing your grip on reality.
Shall we pull a cracker?
I'm serious, Neil. If you're becoming psychotic, I could be in danger. Oh. I think I'd be within my rights to arm myself.
Sounds like I'm the one in danger.
What choice do I have? What if you came to believe I was some awful demon determined to destroy you? If you're wondering whether to say that thing that just came into your head, my advice is no.
Wise words.
Anyway, I'll be watching you. If I decide you've lost touch with reality, I'll consider...
Kim, it's Christmas Day. I believe there's a reality amnesty.
Come to think of it, we should call my mum.
Just to make absolutely sure.
No. I mean, call her because it's Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. It's great to have her back, isn't
what
it?
What do you mean?
Well, for a second, I thought she'd passed away. Thought I'd never speak to her again. Now, suddenly, like Scrooge, I get a second chance. We can call her up and she'll tell us about, you know, her stuff. How great it would be to have grandchildren, the horrors of ageing, immigration. I like her greatest hits at Christmas.
Shall I call her or not? You don't sound very enthusiastic.
Kim, I definitely want you to call her.
OK.
Shall we do it later? Oh, I've eaten so much I can hardly breathe. I actually feel quite sick.
Do you want a white chocolate truffle?
Oh, go on then.
Have we got any games?
I kept the wishbone.
Not a game as such.
More of a game changer.
I'm not really with you.
I know, but that's too big a topic for a bank holiday.
I mean, I'm not with you on the game-changing wishbone.
Oh, well, it's obvious, isn't it? One of us gets to make a wish, and if it comes true, that could make an... Why have you picked up the knife?
I don't want a whole chocolate truffle. I'm planning to slice one.
I'm not saying I believe every wishbone wish comes true, but I do... Please put the knife down.
I'll just put it on the arm of my chair.
Do you want me to pick it up?
Oh, yes. I'll feel much more at ease if the man who believes in the transformative power of wishbones is holding a big knife. That was sarcasm!
You're all right. I'll leave it there. Kim, you're not really... You don't honestly think I'm losing it.
We'll see. I'll have a clearer picture when you've given a more exhaustive account of your wishbone theory.
OK, I think that everyone who makes a wishbone wish thinks there's a chance it might come true. They might not fully admit that to themselves even, but otherwise, why wish? The tradition is you don't tell anyone you wish. So there's no light-hearted discussion about our various aspirations. There's nothing to play for except hope. The knife's just there under the coffee table.
I've spotted it. You do know if push came to shove, I'd get there first.
OK, so now we're discussing who could grab the knife if it came to a tussle. My, this is Christmas.
It could be that elusive game we've been searching for, like Twister, but with added peril and without the lewdness.
Oh, yeah, any physical game involving you and me nowadays will, of course, be very much sans lewdness.
The use of French doesn't make that statement any less tacky. We've been together a long time, Neil. That which boiled now simmers.
Huh.
And please resist the temptation to harumph.
It comes to something when one can't harumph at one's own fireside. Kim, if it makes you feel better, pick up the knife. All I was saying, re Wishbone, is that for all the cynicism of the modern world, there is still some grudging belief in the unseen. Ghosts, feng shui, air guitar, try as... So you've actually picked it up?
I'm just trying to keep the place tidy.
You're not joking, are you? You seriously believe I could be a dangerous madman?
Well, I'm sorry, Neil, but that's what Christmas Day does to people. I imagine half the adults in Britain are looking anxiously at their partners whilst clutching a bread knife.
If only there were more insights like that in the Queen's speech.
I feel like crying. Don't really know why.
Maybe the knife pierced the surface of the onion. Don't panic. I was trying to lighten the mood.
Highly commendable. Let's attempt a cracker.
Ha!
They're a bit drab looking.
I got them from a stall on Camden Market.
Ooh! Such frivolity.
Right, let's see. Here we go. Why is life such a grotesque pantomime?
Go on.
Doesn't seem to be an answer. Did I mention the woman selling these was a goth?
Mm. The gift's a little action figure. Looks like Nietzsche.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It is Nietzsche. Oh, how festive. Of course, it was Nietzsche who said, when we stand staring into the abyss stares back into us.
Mm. What does that mean?
Oh, don't be churlish, Neil. Here, do you want to wear the paper crown?
No, you have it. I don't look good in black. I know, why do we go for a walk? I think some air would do us
good. No, the streets will be full of children precariously balancing on new bicycles. I'm safer in here with you.
Oh, thank you, darling. Oh, running out of ideas. Mm. We could put the radio on.
Neil, it's not the 1940s. The only people who listen to the radio at Christmas time are seafarers.
Did I ever tell you, I once spent a summer working
in
a
lighthouse.
In a lighthouse.
Yeah, you certainly did. It's one of your signature anecdotes.
I bet I didn't tell you about the beautiful young woman from the local seaside town who I was madly in love with.
No, you've held back the beautiful young lover story till this moment, when I sit on Christmas Day with a knife in one hand and Nietzsche in the other, wearing a black crown.
Yeah, it wasn't a big thing. She split up with me after a few weeks.
I really hope this isn't a made-up story to legitimise you singing Neil Diamond's Love on the Rocks.
No, it's completely true. It's the only time I've ever been dumped by Flaegon.
Mm.
Of course, the other thing I did when I lived in the lighthouse...
Was read Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea straight through every day.
Well, yeah, that's correct. Mm. It was 25 years ago. So this day, I can recite whole chunks of it.
I'm still holding a knife, Neil.
You used to be very impressed by my Hemingway recitations.
I used to be very impressed by Velcro.
What went wrong, Kim?
Well, I don't like the way it retains lint. I usually end up having to get a toothpick.
No, I mean, what went wrong with us?
Oh. Well, I thought that was too big a topic for a bank holiday. We don't want to waste our time dragging.
I don't think we should worry about how long it would take. One thing I never think on Christmas Day is, goodness me, is it that time already?
It would be a shame if we had to rush the Wishbone.
You're being evasive.
That's not fair. I've already said I want to play a game.
I'd really like to take a minute to discuss our relationship.
OK, do it.
Well, I'd love to know whether you still love me. I just thought...
Repetition.
What?
Repetition of love.
I was trying to open my heart to you about us. If... Of course, one could argue that your cackling laughter suggests a level of unkindness.
Don't you see? I said I want to play a game. And you said I'd like to take a minute to discuss our relationship. I honestly thought we were playing just a minute. The popular Radio 4 panel game.
OK, I'll accept that misunderstanding is in essence comical, but what about my breaking heart?
White chocolate truffle.
Oh, go on. But, I mean it, Kim. I don't feel any...
Hesitation.
We're not playing just a minute.
Of course, yes, I knew that. I'm sorry, Neil, but you're always going on about whether I still love
always
you.
Always is a bit of an exaggeration.
OK, not always, but certainly on bank holidays.
Okay, Christmas Day is traditionally a time for awkward, even painful conversations about things that have been gnawing away at people for the previous 12 months. That's why families gather together on this day, to wipe the slate clean, to lance the boil, to unpin the tail from the donkey.
I'm not sure about the last one.
I think it's all right. One imagines that the original pinning of the tail was a painful process. You know, maybe the pier's flesh went septic, and then when the pin was withdrawn, the release of all that pus reduced the pressure.
So not unlike lancing the boil.
Well, it's similar, but the donkey's a particularly apposite, obviously, because it's a Christmas animal.
Is it?
Yeah, little donkey. The donkey in the stable. Wouldn't be shocked to discover that Yuletide was originally called Muletide.
Harumph.
So unjust.
So you're saying donkey pus is more seasonal?
Listen, the whole septic ass thing was a flight of fancy. I'm fully aware that the donkey used for pin the tail on the donkey is usually not a living creature.
Is it ever a living creature?
Well, there's those ones they throw off the top of the bell tower in Spain.
That's a completely different thing.
I don't know that it's completely different. A bell tower's an unwieldy prop for a children's game, and also there's the... Well, the cruelty aspect. I'd say pin the tail was the resulting compromise.
Nonsense, they're unrelated.
You have no idea whether they're unrelated or not. You're dismissive of the bell tower pin the tail connection for one reason and one reason only, because you always have to take the opposite side to me. When do you ever give me any real support?
You don't want a partner. You want a surgical stocking.
Well, that isn't true.
I know it isn't true, if by true you mean factually correct. It's a metaphor.
Oh.
Thus its truth is poetical rather than scientific.
Yes, I teach English and American literature to degree level. I know what a metaphor is.
Well, you used to know. After your reality meltdown today, it's impossible to
I say. Haven't had a reality meltdown. You lied to me and I believed you. How come I'm the bad guy?
I didn't lie to you. It was a joke.
A joke about your mother dying?
Yes, yes. Yes, Neil, it was a joke about that. It wasn't a nice thing to say. I'm not a nice person.
Kim, you are a nice person. Well, maybe nice isn't the right word, but... I love you.
Why do you love me? I'm not the human handrail you seem to need. What is it you actually love about me? Why so Pinteresque?
I'm trying to remember my list from the last time you asked me.
I've written it down if you need it.
No, I should be OK. It was only this morning.
Ah, Christmas.
OK, here goes. I think you're smart, you're funny, you're very attractive.
I'm still waiting for nice.
You're the one who pointed out that you're not nice.
Just because I say I'm not nice, I don't see why you have to take my word for it.
I like to give you the benefit of the doubt, like when you tell me your mother died in July. You, alternatively, don't believe anything I say. The bell tower and the tail pinning being a classic example. I mean, you could have just trusted me. But are you calling your mother?
No, I'm Googling bell tower Spain donkey. Ah. Right, here we are. Ha! It's not a donkey, it's a goat.
Really? Let's... OK. Well... I was wrong about it, and I don't even remember why we were discussing it.
Well, pigs in blankets.
Oh, so it's not always a goat?
Pigs in blankets, Neil, don't you remember?
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, what have we learned from all this?
You're losing touch with reality.
And you're not very nice. Ah, Christmas.
White chocolate truffle?
Oh, go on, then.
Don't Start was written and performed by Frank Skinner. It co-starred Catherine Parkinson and was produced by Polly Thomas. It's an Avalon Television production for BBC Radio 4. And you can hear more